Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got my special guest co-host with me today, Tom Paulswitz. He joins me every Thursday on the show. He's a two-time congressional candidate, Navy vet, small business owner, all-around great guy. And Tom and I'm going to speak for you here, are very excited to bring on our next guest, Jeremy Janae, the creator and journalist behind Urban Milwaukee. And we've created, Jeremy, this new segment on the show that we're going to call Milwaukee is Microcosm, because in many ways, as goes Milwaukee, so goes the state. And my personal belief is that so frequently the idea that there is some sort of weird divide between Milwaukee and the rest of the state, or some sort of urban-rural divide, when in fact many of the issues that challenge communities in Milwaukee are the same issues that are challenging in other parts of the state. And so whether it falls into one of any of these three categories or all of the above, we're going to try to highlight stories that may be coming out of Milwaukee, but that are really perhaps an exemplar of Milwaukee as like the tip of the spear, an issue that may be percolating here first, but is likely to reach your neck of the woods. Or are great examples that we can use about how to know if your particular local government is working. And lastly, the third category, hey, this isn't a generally applicable issue, things like school funding and the like. So with all of that lengthy intro, let me say again to you, Jeremy, thank you for being here. And I talked earlier this week about how to know when local government is working and some of the characteristics of elected officials when they're doing their job, some of the things I've gleaned over my years in public service. But today we're going to probably give the little example of what definitely not to do as an elected official.
Yes.
The sad, sordid tale of the one-term disgraced former City of Milwaukee City Attorney Tierman Spencer. What is the scandal? I mean, maybe I should say this. Can you please explain this one particular of many, many scandals surrounding Mr. Spencer? Because he was in criminal court this week, was he not?
He was there yesterday. And thanks for having me. Happy to join the show. And Tom, good to see you. Tierman Spencer, you phrased it correctly, that let's look just at this scandal.
You're
this
right.
One,
right.
This one gets a little wonky to understand until you wrap your head around it and you're like, oh, well, if what the DA's office alleges is true, then that's definitely a criminal act.
Yes.
And I'll walk you through what that is. Tierman Spencer is a collector of cars. Before he became city attorney, he was actually a tenant in the same office building I'm in right now. And I to know Tierman Spencer 15 years ago as a guy that was selling cars. Well, I hadn't kept up with his car collection for quite a while, but it turns out he had it in a building on Martin Luther King Drive on the north side of Milwaukee. And while he was city attorney, he is alleged to have instructed his own attorneys, the public attorneys, people that work for the city of Milwaukee, to prepare a legal opinion whether it is legal to store cars without an occupancy permit. Now, what he left out is that's exactly what he was doing. And if they said it's legal, then he would save all kinds of money. He then got that memo. It's described as an, quote, informal memo. And instead of giving that to the Department of Neighborhood Services, which is his client and enforces things like the building code, the zoning code, he provided it to his landlord, who on a building inspection handed a City of Milwaukee document on City of Milwaukee letterhead to the city building inspector, which obviously created quite the circumstance for them to deal with of, well, why do you have this and how do you have this? And then the icing on the cake, and really what's alleged here, and I think will be really interesting to see if this sticks, is he has a misdemeanor obstruction of justice. That's not the exact term, but misleading an officer of the court term, because he agreed to a voluntary interview where they had already had a search warrant, gone through his private email, saw how he forwarded this memo, routed it around to use it for his private benefit, and he denied ever sending it. And then later in the meeting, he was like, well, maybe I sent it to someone. So just a stunning case of using public resources for private benefit.
So to summarize here, Jeremy, Mr. Spencer had a bunch of cars likely illegally being stored without the appropriate permit in a building. He then, and the City of Milwaukee was about to charge his landlord a hefty sum because of this alleged violation, which would have been passed on as a cost to Mr. Spencer. So Mr. Spencer, whose office's former office's website says that they do not provide legal advice and are legally forbidden from providing legal advice to any private citizen or member of the public. Right. Mr. Spencer then used his public office's resources to gin up what is, I've read it, a somewhat very suspicious and poorly reasoned legal opinion that no, it's totally fine if Mr. Spencer has all these cars in this building and there's no violation and no further action needed. In essence, Mr. Spencer was at odds with the city, who is his client in this matter. What he should have done was run for the hills and have absolutely nothing to do with this enforcement action at all whatsoever. And what he did instead was basically steal government services for his own private benefit, intercede by both appearing at an inspection and calling the Department of Neighborhood Services so that he wouldn't have to pay more for his wonky, dusty old collection of cars. Am I getting this about right?
I think that's a great summary of it. The assistant district attorney, Nicholas Heitman, who was laying out the case yesterday, he was, and be wary of journalists about to do math on the radio, he was laying out some figures, and he totaled up about Tierman might have saved himself $8,000. Let's use that as a marker, $8,000. Tierman now faces an up to $10,000 fine, right, and imprisonment of not more than 3.5 years for his felony case. Yes. And then the misdemeanor charge of obstructing an officer, an additional $10,000 fine. So he did not save any money here. Things go to the maximum.
So Maggie, I'm going to step in because I'm not an attorney. But it, to me, this sounds a lot like what's happening on the federal level is, you know, I have my attorneys and I need them to go find out a solution to my problem. Right. So I've got a problem.
My personal problem.
I've got some problems I need somebody to go figure out a solution to.
Well, and I wanted to just have us all take a pause, and I'll make this commentary. Anybody that's interested in sort of the saga that was Tierman Spencer, go ahead and Google it. I mean, if you got an afternoon and you want to do some reading about incompetency and complete buffoonery in government, go read about Tierman Spencer. But I tried to like distill down what were the red flags that Mr. Spencer was going to be such a disaster? And it was almost immediately out of the box as soon as he took office. HR complaints started rolling in. Yep. There was very suspicious sort of decisions and a very demonstrable lack of any idea about the ethical restrictions on public officials. When questioned about a variety of what I'm going to say legally dubious positions and opinions that he was writing, he didn't do more analysis and come back and join issue on the merits. Oh, no. What he did was call press conferences, blame the media, blame racism, blame everything under the sun other than himself and his own demonstrated incompetency. Does this sound familiar to anyone? I mean, I wanted to use this example today because Mr. Spencer is a Democrat, right? And the point here is incompetence and buffoonery is not the exclusive purview of MAGA, though I think it occurs with much greater frequency.
Right.
It is the purview of those who are incompetent buffoons, right? And they come in all flavors, shapes, and sizes, and political leanings. Yeah. Tom, your thoughts on the things that people should look out for in elected officials?
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious in this situation. And, you know, and kudos to Evan Goyke for running and you know, working on changing the environment in that office. But, you know, when you see somebody who's running that has all these different red flags, the common sense person would go, maybe that's not going to end up well. You know, but I think it gets back to it. And Jeremy, I'm glad you're doing it, right? It really gets back to reporting and making sure the facts are known for people. I read Urban Milwaukee every day. I think it's a great publication just because it helps.
Say that again.
I read it every day. It's a great publication. But I read it because it sheds light on the things that happen in the city that need light shed on. And it really breaks through because it's not, I don't consider it to be one political element versus another political element. It's just, here's what's happening.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. And it's what people need to know. Cause I agree with you, Maggie, all the red flags were there. and they all came about in the first, 6 months of office. And here we are today having to deal with this. And I'm sure Evan's got better things to do than have to deal with this, but it does need to be cleaned up. And I think it's incredibly important that we hold people accountable.
Well, and this is getting, thank you so brilliantly for setting up my meta point, which is I encourage everyone, whether you're in Wausau or Waukesha, Rhinelander to Racine, Appleton to, I'm forgetting another A, Amory. Okay, there we go. I got them all in there. A little alliteration this afternoon. Does it, if you are from one of these places, not from Milwaukee, I encourage you to go check out and check out Urban Milwaukee and read an article or two. Not because it's happening in your backyard, but because it shows you how important it is to have a local media outlet that is doing that kind of work. Now, in many of our regions of the state, civic media is trying to fill that gap yes. in many ways. But there is, again, I think the vigorousness of written journalism where people actually come to know these players within local government. Because I guarantee the decisions that are getting made down the street at your village town hall will have more impact on the quality of your life and your children's happiness than what's happening in the Beltway outside Washington, D.C. Guaranteed. So I wholeheartedly concur with Tom, Jeremy, that Urban Milwaukee is a treasure. I think it makes not just Milwaukee better, but the state better. And again, emphasis on the fact that it is an apolitical, non-political, straight right. journalism reporting. It's just me with all the political opinions this afternoon. when we come back, I want to tease a little bit. We're going to have to take care of some business here in a moment. But when we come back, I want to talk about the Great Lakes and Lake Michigan liners and how much we got a new dock coming in and what's going on and how that may be impacting other parts of the state Bruce as ships. Well. Yes. Yes. Yep. Folks, we got Jeremy Janae from Urban Milwaukee and Tom Paulswitz, my special guest co-host today. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back with more in just a moment.